So therefore, we are renewed in that. Amen? So I don't care if we're 10 or 200. I can expect excitement, joy, peace, revelation, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, because I want that. Amen? So why don't we do this tonight? Why don't we put a demand on ourselves? Well, by saying, I'm going to hear tonight. And because I hear, I am changed in Jesus' name. All right, praise the Lord. Father, you heard. Holy Spirit, you heard. Now do that thing that you want to do to all of us tonight so we walk out of here different, so that we can touch the world in a way that we've never touched before, in your name, for your honor, for your glory. We ask you and thank you that these things are done in Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says, amen. Hallelujah. All right, I want to start part three of this however long series it's going to be on fear. And I'd like to start with our what I call our two base scriptures. First one being 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. That little one's already paying attention better than most. All right, are we going to get there or shall I? You know I'm not. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm very patient. All right. Nope. 7, not 17. We haven't gotten that far yet. There you go. I was beginning to get into that other one. That's all right. We'll stay on track. You know what the best thing in the world about the Word of God is? If you're hungry, there's something to eat on every verse. There's no way you can read a short time in the Bible and not be absolutely changed. I'll promise you. He wants to transfer what's written in that Word onto our hearts. We have to show up to get the transfer. Hunger and thirst, it's called. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear or a disposition to fear. Fear meaning timidity or faithlessness. So God has not given us a disposition to be faithless, but of power, this is what God gave us, of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-control. Would any of you ever picture God out of control? Are you made in His likeness and image? So if you're being perfected in love, you will never lose it. I will never lose it. You can say that now. I will never lose it. So, see, when you say that, you take away excuse for losing it. Because you know when you lose it, you're not in the image and likeness of God. I didn't say if you get angry. God gets angry. I said if you lose it. All right, 1 John 4:18. There's no fear or timidity or faithlessness in love. But perfect or complete love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment or imprisonment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if I'm in some type of bondage, if I don't feel like I'm good enough, that's a fear. God didn't give it to you, so whenever you figure that out, then don't go back there again. That's a trough you shouldn't be feeding at. That's how simple the walk with God is. Once you find out that you're eating at the wrong place, don't eat there anymore. Just don't eat that. Don't drink that anymore. I'm not going there. Don't want that. Not going there. The walk with God is so simple that we make it complicated because we don't want to miss it. And yet there's nothing to miss. It's too simple. You know, once again, you don't have to worry that you're fighting a fight. You just have to worry if you're winning. All right? The fight is not the goal. The victory is the goal. The fight you have to have and you have to go through to get the victory. You know, I went back to the restroom. All of a sudden, man, I'm feeling so bad again. There's no reason for that. There's no excuse for that. So I just went to the mirror, like I've told you to do before. You got to talk to you and say, bud, you get to feeling as good as you're healed. You don't go out there and say you're healed and you don't feel like it. Just get, body, you get to feeling like you are, which is healed. Another way I say it often is, body, you come into alignment with the Word of God. You don't make your body line. You don't make the Word of God line up with your body. You don't go to somebody, I don't care who they are, and say, I'm sick, when the Bible says you're healed. You just tell your body how to get in line with the Word of God. And don't let your body argue. If it gets louder, you get louder. By the way, you keep doing that, you will win every battle. All right. If I'm going to title this tonight, part three, is why was Jesus not afraid of the cross? Anybody know that Jesus never once feared the cross? I don't get my punchline. No, if you got it, say it. Jesus never once feared the cross. But what does walking in perfect love, how would I interpret that? He didn't fear the cross. There's a lot of reasons. We come up with a lot of you understand that a lot of times we have religious statements that we don't put feet to. Feet means I can explain it to you. I can walk it. I can cause you to walk it. We can say, he had the mind of the Father. Okay, I'm sure the world understands that. The minute you said it, they had perfect understanding. What was in the mind of the Father that Jesus had that kept him from fearing? So he used redemption. Now the world totally understands. I'm not mocking you. I'm trying to tell you that a lot of words that we use, a lot of phrases we use, won't get outside of these walls. Your job is to take the word outside of these walls, walk it and talk it, where people can understand. Rather than just quiz all day, let me tell you why he didn't fear. He did have the mind of the Father. What is the mind of the Father? Everything's good. The mind of the Father is, I'm good. You're good. We're good. Everything's good. There's nothing bad in the cross. I just went over you at 700 miles an hour at 30,000 feet. I gave you the simplest statement on the face of the earth. The reason that Jesus didn't fear is because there was nothing to fear. He looked into the mind of God and he saw absolutely nothing to fear. He saw nothing but joy and peace and victory. And so there, nobody could convince him that there was anything to be afraid of. Now, where does that put us? Does that give a little bit of a better understanding of the scripture you just read? There is no fear in love, our perfect love, our completed love. Do you know the Father? Do you trust Him? Then why don't you now tell me what you're afraid of? I'm going to take this a little further, but let's start right. I want to tell you, and I want you to think about this. From the time we're little, we are bombarded with reasons we should be afraid. You were raised in fear. You were taught fear. You listen to the commercials that teaches you fear. You listen to your neighbors and they'll tell you why you should be afraid. Every moment of every day, there's more offerings of fear than offerings of God. You're bombarded on a daily basis. That's why, generally speaking, the fight is harder than it should be, because we are exposed more to lies than truth. What are some examples? Well, I'll give you one. My grandmother and grandfather were diabetics, so it's in my genes. Now, don't tell me you haven't heard that. Don't tell me you might have not even said it. But I know you've listened to it. Well, my mother, grandmother and grandfather's genes, they're stronger than God's genes. Well, I thought I was a new creation. I thought by the Spirit of God, I was conceived a new creation. So where are my genes from? And don't tell me Sam's. They're from God. I was created in His likeness and image, recreated in His likeness and image. Now I'm double good. I'm not just good, I'm good. You can say that about yourselves. Don't just listen to me say it. You need to adopt some of these things. I don't carry. Let me say the way I told another church one time. If you're ever bombarded by some of these things that you are to fear, why don't you tell your body, body, come on, we're going to dive through this blood flood and let's see if it can hang on. Let's see if anything can get through the blood of Jesus. Come on, let's go. How about diabetes? How about cancer? You know, can we mock some fearful things just for a second? Just one or two. Do you know what the greatest killer of women is? Your heart stops. heart disease, heart failure. You hear it all the time on television. Listen, why don't y'all listen carefully? Did you know the biggest killer of everybody on the face of the earth is when your heart stops? In fact, it's the only way that you can actually officially die. So everybody dies of heart failure. They'll call it congestive heart failure. Oh, congestive heart failure. Somebody told me that the other day. My mother's dying of congestive heart failure. I said, did you know you've been dying of congestive heart failure since the day you were born? You were born to die. The minute life was put into you and you hit this air, you began to die. You thought you began to live and grow, but no, you began to die. Praise God, because if you didn't do that, you'd never get to go be with Him. There's no fear in that. The biggest killer of women is heart failure. Brilliant. I could have given that diagnosis. How many others can you think of? How many of you know, should anybody in the world, any Christians in the world, go into a marriage worried about a divorce? Is that a fear? Well, do the legalities, sign the prenups, and then move on. If you're worried about the legalities, sign the prenups and move on. Y'all know what a prenup is? Some of you, I didn't act like you knew what that was. I can explain it to you. That means you leave this place with what you brought in. Now, what about God? Are you going to sign a prenup with Him? That's right. I want more than what I bring into this thing. Let's stop worrying about foolish things that we have control of, but in reality, the only way we control them is choose life, not death. And if I'm choosing life, then I'm not going to be signing documents that insures against death. I am assured. Actually, y'all want to get theological or just keep moving? Let's just keep moving. I don't want to mess this up. How many of you are afraid of not having enough when you get old? If I don't put enough away, I won't be able to retire. Well, don't retire. Well, I just took care of that. Don't retire. God says He takes care of birds. He takes care of... Can I take care of you? He said, how much more will I take care of you? So what are you worried about? Who's your sustenance? Who's your source? Bombarded every day. But you know what? You got to worry about that 401k. Okay. I didn't find 401k in the scriptures. I didn't find it there. I've looked. I found 911, but I can't find 401k. Let me give you a real simple one that everybody should recognize. Every commercial that comes on television, the only way it's successful is for me to make you be afraid that you're going to miss the deal. I've got a 72-hour sale. If you don't come by this within 72 hours, you're not going to get the deal. Oh. You know what he's really saying? He's saying, you got the money, I want your money, I'm going to lie to you and tell you, bring it in quick. I don't care who it is. But the technique is make you fearful. Make you fearful. I'm not going to name the name, but I can tell you an evangelist that had this thing right here, turned them both ways like this, and they counted a countdown at altar call. And you had 2 minutes? Was it 2 minutes, 3 minutes? I don't know what it was, but those tickers started going the minute he said you're on a deadline. Oh, you better run forward now or you're going to miss salvation. Listen, don't go, if they can do it, we can do it. That's the idea. What you should know is that I'm not afraid of that or anything else. Just be afraid if there's a tug in here. That's the only thing you need to worry about. And that is not the thing to worry about. It's not going to go away as long as you're listening. Stop listening, then you need to worry. Y'all getting the idea of things that... even your fuel gauge. You're getting closer to being empty. You're getting closer to being empty. Everything is translated into a warning to you. Come on. Am I boring you? Am I telling you the truth? I'm not going to go through the long list because y'all not get into it. They got us now believing that the ice caps are going to melt and we're going to drown. Global warming. As if God hadn't already figured this one out. Weather alert. Dangerous weather's coming. Here's what you do if it comes. They don't tell you what to do right. They just tell you what not to do. Go hide in the bathtub, pull the mattress over your head. You know, I've seen a couple of tornadoes, and I promise you, if that tornado wants you, no mattress and bathtub is going to save your hide. You better learn something more powerful than that. Go to Genesis 1:26. We'll say this until we remember it. The reason Jesus wasn't afraid, and the reason we need to not be afraid. No, you will never face the cross. You understand that? You are to take up your cross and follow Him, but we can go into that next time. That what the cross represented was taking the sins of the entire world and letting those kill you. You die to pay for them. You're not going to be asked to do that. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, that means we have the right to be afraid, because God's afraid. He worries a lot. He always thinks that I'm not good enough. He always thinks I've probably got some sin that I can't get rid of. I don't know how I'm going to make it when I retire. God always thinks about it. Listen, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. We look like him, we think like him, we act like him, we feel like him, we're powerful like him. Let them have dominion. Boom. Who had all the dominion before he said that? He did. Then he said, since you're so much like me, here. Now you have it. Because you're so much like me, you have it. Because you're so much like me, you have it. Because you're so much like me, you have it. That's what he said. Of course, he didn't know what he's talking about because he really didn't know me. Yeah. And then it tells you that you have dominion over everything. You know what this is saying? The earth and everything that's in it is to fear you. You're not to fear it. That's Stan's translation out of that. I made it that way. When I said you have dominion, the whole earth heard it and is now afraid of you. So you have nothing to fear. And y'all said, woohoo! So how do we get into so much fear? When God was not full of fear, Jesus was not full of fear, our history book called the Word is not full of fear. How do we get so much? And don't tell me you don't have any. The reason I'm bringing this now is because God says you do, and we're going to get rid of it. Amen? How did we fall into so much fear if we're not even created to fear? I didn't hear any quick answers on that one. We took a peek. We took a peek where we weren't supposed to peek. We looked at places we weren't supposed to look. That's how we get fear today. That's how we got it then. That's how we get it today. We look at things we're not supposed to be looking at. Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And the Lord God took the man that looked so much like him, thought so much like him, felt like him, he made, came out of his loins, was proud of. And he said, I'm going to put you in a place I'm proud of. Boom. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. He didn't say, come, let's get together and vote. He did what any father would do to any son. He said, I'm going to make it where you can be like me, the continuation of me. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep, not change. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man saying, what do you do? Suggest? He commanded. Y'all know what that means. I bring you up here and let them explain what a command is, if they don't understand. That means do it what I said or get in serious trouble. Now that's the way you'd interpret it to me, right? It's going to cost you if you don't do what I tell you to do. Is that what a command is? Okay. God commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden, eat. Freely eat. I gave it to you to eat. I want you to eat it. You're going to love eating it. I love it. You're going to love it because you're so much like me. I made it the way I like it. You're going to like it. Woohoo, it's good. Verse 17. But there's a place I don't want you to go. And it is for your good. Because you can't tend this garden properly if you go there. You can't enjoy that thing that I created for you like I want you to if you go there. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. He didn't say, I'll kill you. See, since there is no death in the hands of God, He has no ability to kill. He can't give you what He doesn't own. What's in Him is what comes out of Him. There's no death in Him, so He can't give it to you. I don't care. Drop your theology. Drop what you've been taught. That's the truth. I don't want you to know about fear. I don't want you to know that there's anything out there that would cause you to fear. I want you to look where I put you. I want you to look at me. I want you to look at that I gave you to eat. I want you to look at this gorgeous area that I put you in, and don't you look at anything else. The command still stands. Because the minute you look where you're not supposed to look, you're going to think that that's coming your way. See, I gave you all this beautiful fruit, this power, this authority, this love, this peace, the joy that passes even our understanding. That's what I want you to focus on. That will never, ever, ever put in you an ounce of fear. But the minute you do, there's something in you that's going to die. Why? Because you've invited something into you that I never intended for to be there. You're going to be afraid of that thing that doesn't look like me. You hear what I just said? You're going to fear that thing that doesn't look like God. Doesn't look like me, God would say. And we didn't believe Him. Today, we're still not smart enough to believe Him. We're getting there. We're going to work until we do. Amen. Everybody says amen. Amen. We're not going to repeat what that dummy did. He was in fellowship with God, creating His likeness and image. We got out of that likeness and image. Jesus came, recreated that likeness and image, put us right back there, an opportunity to step into that garden and stay there. All we got to do is not look at anything else. No other opportunities, no other options, and no other commands. We're created to know nothing but Him. Amen. Why was Jesus not afraid of the cross? All He could see was the goodness of the Father. That's all He could see. I'm going to tell you why it's easy for me to be set free in this. I want you to get this. I don't want you to lean to your own understanding. I don't want you to lean to your own teachings and theology. You listen to me. Jesus never died for you. He died for the Father. He saw something in the Father that created so much pleasure in the Father that that's all He needed to see. It kept Him safe. It kept Him in love with everything the Father was in love with, which is all of His children. He didn't need to know about you and I. Although He did, He saw, guess where He saw it? When all the sins that you and I jumped on Him. That's when He saw us. Oh man, oh man. But He didn't take His eye off the Father. He even said, when He saw it, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How did he know that we didn't know what we were doing? Because He saw the heart of the Father. He knew that we didn't know what we were doing. You guys got to get this. The Father saw us. What did He see? Pastor's been teaching this. Months ago He taught this. Because God looked at us and saw some of Him. So when Jesus saw us, guess what He saw? Him. So it was nothing but the Father that He could see. And He didn't want to see anything else. I'll get there. When we decided that He was not enough, you listen, forget about history and what I read you right now, you bring into your life and in this place right now. When we decided that He wasn't enough and we wanted something else, we peeked over our hedge of protection. Are you hearing me? We peeked over our hedge of protection and saw that there was good and evil. How many of you just love to see evil? See, he didn't promise if you peek over there, you're going to see good. He said you're going to see good and evil, something to compare. Good, the only way you know it's not good or it is good is to have something to compare to. He didn't want us to even have a comparison. A threat that we were not to see and not to be threatened with. An area that would offer us something to fear. We lost our perfect peace and our place of power. Our place of perfect peace and power we gave up by peeking. What's peeking? Looking at something we're not supposed to look at. Meditating, considering, even letting for a moment settle, slow down in my presence. I don't want that. Get out of here. You don't belong to me. Mm-mm. Titus. We know this. You're going to learn it more. Titus 1, 15. I'm going to read 15 and 16, by the way. To the pure, all things are pure. Why was Jesus not afraid of the cross? Now, come on, guys. It wasn't that he didn't know what was coming. All he could see was pure. In the place of pure, there's peace that passes understanding. I'm telling you, enough peace, enough joy, there's no pain. No, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. Don't argue with me that way. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled, who have been peeking over somewhere else, listening to something else, and unbelieving. Ooh. So peeking over brings unbelief. Now you know what the knowledge of good and evil is. It's unbelief. Nothing is pure. Whoa. Do you know when the first time I ever heard this scripture, which is a number of what, 5, 6 years ago, when I preached this? You know why I got it? Because nothing was pure in me. Nothing was pure. I could find bad stuff in everything. Why? Because I was raised that way. Don't trust anybody. Don't trust anything. If you want it done, do it yourself. You want to see that it's done, be there all the time. Come on. If you haven't owned your own business, then you haven't been here. But if you have, ooh, it's hard to stay away from this. Come on. Hard. So it hit me hard. And I had to start believing this above feelings. Because I'd already been peeking and I need to quit peeking. I need to see pure things. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. This is a stage, if you want to know. We could sit here in a message on just the stages of life right here, of spiritual life. Going from purity to a reprobate mind. This is a very, very short story of somebody going from purity to reprobate mind because they don't meditate on those things that are pure. That person that's pure. That word that's pure. Even their mind and conscience are defiled. You know what that means? Even if you see something good, you don't see it as good. And even when you do something bad, you don't even know it's bad. You are about that far from blasphemy, which there is no return. Better get a hold. That's what the scripture's about. Can you get a hold of yourself, the way you think, the way you talk? Verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. I had an uncle that just died recently. And in his younger days, he had a tent, traveled the country. And he was, at the same time Oral Roberts was, and he was doing the same thing. He was laying on hands. Our limbs were growing. People were raised from the dead. I mean, miracles were happening. You couldn't convince him that God wasn't in everything. I touch, do, step, speak, and his healing is real. 20, 30 years later, his grandchildren. He got out of the ministry. He was the mayor of a town. Still very popular. He had the gifting that God gave him, but no longer using it. Let's don't say misusing it. Just say not using it like he should. I remember as a young man we went there. And I remember the grandson got sick, started running a fever. And you would have thought, I don't know what you would have thought, he just got beside himself. Blood pressure goes up, breath runs fast. I got to take him to the doctor. My dad says, wait a minute, let's pray for him. Now, there's not much you can do in these kind of situations that to do what God tells you to do, is just pray for somebody. But, go ahead, hurry. Hurry? Okay. Laid hands and prayed. No more, the amen didn't get out of the mouth before he swooped him up and headed out that back door. What does that tell you? No expectation of fulfillment of a prayer. Not one expectation. How in the world do you go from everything is pure to everything is defiled? You don't stay in the Word. You don't keep your faith strong. You don't take down thoughts that you're not supposed to have. You're peeking over into other areas. You know what you're doing? Can I please tell you something? You are going from a sure thing to an unsure thing, thinking it's sure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Please, please. Can you check yourself and your neighbors when they start telling you that the things of this earth, whether it be doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, are more safe than God? Something's wrong. Something's wrong with your thinking. Something's wrong with your neighbor's thinking. Have compassion on yourself, your neighbor. If you can't do anything, shut up. Don't say anything until you get your faith back where it's supposed to be. I want to be classified as pure. I do not want to profess God and then go to other sources. Jesus didn't see the cross as bad because it was pure. Therefore, if it's not bad, there's nothing to fear. David didn't fear a giant. Y'all play that story out. Read it. It's life to you. He walks up to the giant. The giant says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut off your head. And I'm going to feed you to the buzzards. David said, No. No. You didn't get it right. He said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to chop your head off. And I'm going to feed you to the buzzards. Turned the prophecy around. That is our job. To turn the prophecy around. That's casting down thoughts and imaginations. And the best part of that story that just grosses everybody out is that young man took that head and walked around for, check your Bible, a week and said, look what God did. Look what God did. Look what God did. Look what God did. Oh, Christians wouldn't do that. He did it. Don't tell me what Christians would do. Christians would never submit to a giant. That's what Christians would do. They'd never fear something. They'd never fear anything in the world when they already know the one that takes away all fear. You know what Peter did? Peter saw Jesus and stepped out and walked on water. Just because he saw something pure. He got out there and he looked at the water which wasn't pure. And he went, whoop. I'm a goner. Help, Jesus. Now, you and I would have said, I didn't put you there. Get yourself out. But when he looked at Jesus, guess what? Whoop! He's through sinking. What's the moral of this little tidbit? Keep your eyes on that's pure, right? Don't worry about the threat. He never saw anything bad until he looked at it bad. And then it just about swallowed him. Why do you keep saying that? I'm trying to get you your eyes open, that's why. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Where in the world are you going, Stan? Well, just wait and see. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why was Jesus not afraid? Because he had the mind of the Father, and he knew that was a safe place. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let's see. That's got to be theologically incorrect. It may be word, but Get your butt out of the way and read the Word. There it is. Plain and simple. The reason he had the mind of God in a situation is he wasn't afraid to receive the mind of God. Not being lowly to God, because that's not how God sees you. You need to see you like God sees you. That's my son. I made him in my likeness and image. He's afraid of nothing. I gave him dominion. Therefore, as soon as he realizes it, he can do anything in the world. Now we sit here and we try to teach our children that like it's some psychological trip. You can do anything. You can do anything you put your mind to. Well, do God. Try that one to start with and see where it takes you. When are you going to walk up to God and say, I'm in your likeness and image? You know, I remember one time my dad was fussing at me because of the way I was doing it. He didn't like my attitude. And I said, you know what's wrong with you? You made me like I am and now you don't like it. You made me independent and ornery, and now that I play it back to you, you don't like it. God doesn't play those tricks. He wants me to say, I'm just like you. And he won't say, he'll say, yeah. Yeah. Come on, don't act like I'm the only one that ever felt that way. I know better. I've talked to some of you. Jesus had this mind. I'm equal with God. I'm going to say it again. Jesus had this mind. I'm equal with God. Let this mind be in you. See, this is not an arm wrestling match. The devil played that one out and he lost. Don't go there. This is, God, I think like you. I see like you. I feel like you. I believe like you. I must have gotten it from you. Let's go on. There's more to it. Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. This is a key right here. Okay? Don't get too big for your britches. God will allow you to be equal with him as long as you are thinking like he does. But the minute you think that you might be a little better, he made himself of no reputation. Jesus did that. Taking the form of a bond servant. Who made him a bond servant? Not the Father. He did. He wanted to make sure his Father knew that he was going to serve him, no matter what. That's why the cross didn't scare him. And became, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Wait a minute. Does that mean the appearance of men makes you proud? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Listen to me carefully. I said you're made in the image and likeness of God. If that don't throw your shoulders back some, there's something wrong with you. So what happens when that happens? Woo-hoo, you know who I am? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. I know you. Listen, I know you got something to be proud of. I know you do. You're in the image and likeness of God. You need to be proud, but hold it. Humble yourself. Why? Because your attention is not for you. The attention is not for you. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. His own friend said, let me say it the way I would say it. God's not going to let that happen to you. One of his friends said, no, that's not the truth. Told him, I don't care if you said it, Jesus. It's not the truth. Now, wait a minute. Did that man just become bigger than God? There's where we have to humble ourselves. Because we can get to thinking we know so much about God that nobody else knows anything. Humble yourself. You find out if you spend some time with God that everything that God created doesn't talk about you. It talks about God. Everything on this earth, if you will listen, praises God. The rocks and the trees do. You just need to be louder than them. Therefore, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Anybody want to be exalted in here? Say yes and don't lie to me. Yes. Then humble yourself. Just humble yourself. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. When did he get the name? Oh, now we're getting into theology again. He was introduced as Emmanuel. He was given the name Emmanuel. But when he humbled himself, he was given the name Jesus. Are we going to argue? I don't want to argue. It makes great sense. Because now, God the Father is offering the same name to us. Boy, y'all are having a hard time with this one, aren't you? That name which is given, which has been exalted above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, and those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, the whole thing is about the Father. Another thing that set me free is that Jesus never once preached Jesus. He preached the Father and the kingdom. That's all he could talk about, the Father and the kingdom. If I am a son of God, am I a son of God? Then I have every right of the Father. Except to be the Father. What does that mean? He always has the last word. Because I want him to. Because I want him to. Because my words I don't care for. Because they're liable to end up negative, and his words never, ever, ever, ever end up negative. That's why he could say to Jesus, "You're going to the cross." Jesus said, "All right. So be it." His flesh said, "I don't want to do this." And Jesus said, "Don't listen to that. Listen to this. I'm going. Let's play it out so we can live it." We've all gone through these battles. You've got to tell your flesh to shut up. Because it does not make the final decision. Humble yourself means to control yourself. Bring it back into the rightful position. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not because I have to anymore, but because I want to. Because I want to. How do we not fear? The mind of God, the mind of Christ, keep our eyes on that. There are no negatives in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody tell you theirs. Oh, it says take up your cross. Sure it does. The cross didn't scare him. It was victorious. It was a sign of victory. So it delivered everybody. What's scary about that? Well, I could what? Have you got some threats that I haven't already considered and laid in the altar? Because if you have, I'm going to let you make them, and I'm laying them on the altar. So the end thing here is I'm not going to fear. I'm going to do exactly what God tells me to do. I really don't care what you think the cost is. It's paid. Do you know Jesus didn't have to buy his own cross? They provided it. The world provided that thing that set the world free. And he didn't have to pay for it. He was wearing good clothes when he went up there. I mean, they argued over his clothes. Those were not cheap clothes. Even to bear the cross, when it got a little heavy, somebody else stepped up. Y'all know the story, or we need to read it. Y'all get a little hallelujah, amen, woo-hoo, that's good. Yes. We don't do this alone. But we do it. Want to take up my cross and follow. Well, that means that I'm going to get to deliver some people. Well, how do I do that? By humbling myself. By not being afraid. By know that I have the mind of Christ in this thing. Do you understand there's nothing that can defeat you when you have the mind of Christ in something? Because Christ, the mind of Christ, the mind of the Anointed One, you now have. You have the mind of God in this thing. No wonder I can walk with pride when I say my steps are ordered. Do you know that when my steps are ordered, the world trembles? Why do you think I brought that Bonamassa thing in here for you to listen to? God told me that's what happens, so I know it happens. You don't tell me anything different. You don't even have to like the song. It's still the truth. Never ever give up a sure thing, which is the word, for a maybe thing, which is another word. Never ever trade down. Ever. Not even if it's your feeling. Never trade down. Stop looking for a better way when we already have the perfect way. A couple more minutes. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, as Jesus did, we do not war against or war according to the flesh, or the way the flesh would war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not our flesh, but mighty in God. When are we mighty? In God. For pulling down strongholds. What are we built for? Pulling down strongholds. Say it, I'm built for pulling down strongholds.
I'm built for pulling down strongholds.
So the first stronghold I'm going to pull down, come on, for the first stronghold I'm going to pull down is me. Now you've humbled yourself. Our weapons are mighty in God for casting down arguments. That means when your flesh is arguing, you have some authority and power in God, cast it down. Watch Him perform the work, or the Word will. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God comes down, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, or the way Christ did it. How do we stay away from fear? The way Jesus did. Anything that's scary, you say, no, it's not scary. Anything that's a threat, say, no, it's not a threat. Anything that looks terrible, that's good. That's good. It's a good thing. Jesus said, a good thing. And being ready to punish you. Ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you think there's ever a time in your life when you are finished obeying? So when your flesh says you don't have to obey anymore, you bring that disobedience into subjection. Say, no, I'm looking for another place I want to obey. I'm looking for a place I want to obey. I'm looking for another place I want to obey. Thinking on good things, thinking on God things, it's the same thing. We have to cast down and cast out anything that's not of God, anything that's not good. How do I know? Jeremiah 29:11. I thank you, Asper. Thank you for asking me. Jeremiah 29:11. The reason I know this is because I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of God. What does He say? I think you're good. And I think good things for you. And I want you to know that. Listen, I'm going to tell you. I'm thinking good things for you. Get into this mind and you'll see them coming. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. No thoughts of evil. Listen to me. I don't have evil thoughts for you, about you, or around you. I put you in the garden. Stay there. To give you a future and to give you hope. My decision determines my future. What's my decision based on? The mind of God. Therefore, perfect love, God, casts out all fear. Did we get the formula? There's only perfect love in one entity. That's God Himself. We learn that through Christ Jesus. And in His name, we can assimilate. We can assume. We can become that. In perfect love, there is no fear. I can think those thoughts that He has for me and drives out all fear. 1 Corinthians 2:2, and I'm through. Here's my decision. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined, this is a man speaking. This is you must speak this. I have determined. I determined not to know anything among you, anything among me, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's my determination. You're not going to scare me. You're not going to threaten me. You're not even going to worry me. Because every time that comes up, that's talking to me. I talk to me in that mirror back there, and I'm talking to you. I'm not going to allow you, Stan, you, anybody else, to have your way with me. Only Christ Jesus and Him crucified. No threat, no cancer, no diabetes, no global warming, no TV commercial, nothing else is going to have its way for me, because I've determined to see in all of that good. The cross was good. Nothing scary about it. Take up your cross, follow Jesus, and there's nothing scary about it. Amen? So everything that pertains to me pertains to life and godliness. Did I change that around to make that work? I'm telling you, I'm determined that everything that deals with me, touches me, comes near me, pertains to life and godliness. I don't have wayward children. I don't have wayward ways. I don't have wayward finances. I don't have a wayward future. Everything I've seen in God's mind, it's a future, hope, and peace. Amen? Stand with me. That's a place to go. If we're not there, it's a place to go. This was good. I got a lot out of that.